Welcome to the Social of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guest today is Shirin Kanji from Brunel Business School in London. She recently published an article entitled Gender Transitions to Self-Employment and Business Ownership, a Linked Lives Perspective. She co-authored this paper with Natalia Vershinina. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Shirin, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much, Vassal. Thank you for inviting me.
Can you tell us, what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic? And what is the question you aim to answer?
Yes, thank you. That sort of gives pause for thought. We approached this topic from two perspectives. The first is that we wanted to understand about what are the triggers, what are the factors that are associated with men and women's transition to self-employment. How in particular does that relate to family and demographic issues? But from the second side, we also wanted to examine how understanding this issue of the transition to self-employment could contribute to our understanding of more mainstream studies on women's position in the labour market, studies which tend to neglect the role of self-employment. So we had these two different aspects. And I'm a social demographer by background, and so I've always taken a strong interest in the life course perspective. And in the life course perspective, the conditioning of individual agency is strongly tied to connections with other people. That's a key tenet of the life course perspective. So that a full understanding of an individual's actions and positions always involve a reference to key others in that person's life, both within and across generations, which is why we took this perspective that was both within and across generations. So this is not only in the life course perspective. More recently, scholars in entrepreneurship, in gender and entrepreneurship, have stressed the importance of the household context, but in particular for understanding women's entrepreneurship and for understanding how women's entrepreneurship actually differs from men's entrepreneurship, and because the motivations are rather different. It's been an aspect of work on gender and entrepreneurship. And even in family sociology and family economics, much of the work has looked through the lens of Becker's work, Gary Becker's treatise on the family. And even here, Becker certainly recognized the connections. It was an approach based in neoclassical economics, but he certainly recognized the connections between household members. And in a way, he summed them up, you know, really quite incisively with his male breadwinner, female homemaker model, recognizing actually that to be a male breadwinner means to be unconstrained in the labor market. And Becker himself recognized that even a small amount of discrimination in the labor market would lead to very different outcomes for men and women. So these different theoretical perspectives have all acknowledged how individuals are tied together. But yet in empirical work, it's a kind of unusual perspective to look at people within their households. Most studies tend to look at individuals. So although many qualitative studies have looked at dynamics within the household, I think that we have less research that we can draw on that looks at large-scale representative samples, so that we can tell, you know, so that we can generalize to populations, you know, what is really, what can we say about what's going on at a more general level. So that is why we decided to look at these connections within the life course. And we asked two questions. The first is, how do key transitions within the household context impact the likelihood of men and women moving into self-employment from employment? The reason that we ask about these key transitions within the household is because the life course perspective really stresses that there are key turning points in life courses that change directions. And I think that we can all see that in our own lives. The second question that we wanted to explore is, how do the linked lives of individuals in couples impact self-employment transitions? So these are rather important for understanding women's position in the labour market, because we know that motherhood, for example, you know, the transitions we look at are getting married, entering into a cohabiting relationship, having children. And we know that having children is a key source of disadvantage for mothers. Numerous studies tell us that there is certainly a motherhood wage gap. And other studies also tell us about how women's position in organisations suffers when they have children. Joe Nacker's famous work really talks about the gendered organisation, and I think that is very relevant for us here.
What are the main contributions of your paper?
I think that our paper, I would summarise the contributions of our paper in three ways. So the first is that for women, our findings, it's mostly about our empirical, I would like to sort of stress the empirical findings here. So for women, there is a very robust relationship between having children and making the transition to self-employment. Having a first or second child triggers women to a move into self-employment. We were particularly interested to look at birth parity, because from a demographic perspective, demographers always look by birth parities. But generally, people tend to look at the presence of children or the absence of children in studies of entrepreneurship and studies of women's labour market position. And yet, there are very substantial differences by birth parity. We find the effect is stronger for a second child, the move to self-employment. In relation to business ownership, children are not associated with men's transition to business ownership, but they are associated with women's move to business ownership, particularly, again, having a second child. Also, I think it's quite interesting to note that 9% of female business owners have 3+ children in their households, compared to only 4.8% of women who are employed and 7.32% of self-employed. A higher proportion of self-employed women have 2 children under the age of 18 living in their household. That's 24.7% of them, compared to 19.1% of employed women. So even these summary statistics start telling us that there's some relationship. Of course, it doesn't mean a causal relationship, but there's some relationship between women's having children and being self-employed or being business owners. And this relationship is just not there for men. Men who have children, you know, men may be more likely, business owners may be more likely to have children, but it's not having a causal effect on them moving into either self-employment or business ownership. So this is a rather important thing that we really wanted to look at, was the causal effect of these demographic factors on moving into self-employment. So the second contribution, the second area of contribution, lies in relation to couples. So we demonstrate that couples do lead interlinked lives. Much of my research has looked at working hours. And so we were interested to look at how long working hours of one part, our overall study looks at all individuals involved in self-employment and business ownership. Secondly, we look only at those who are in couples, and we see that long hours of one member of the couple trigger the other to make a transition to self-employment. So couples' lives are very much constrained or enabled by what other members of the household do. So we can see that if one partner is working long hours, they are perhaps enabled by the other partner making a move to self-employment or business ownership. So the other partner, we can infer, is maybe constrained in some way, or they have made this strategy together. Maybe they don't see it as enabling or constraining, but we can see that there is some sort of coordination going on. So being with a partner on long hours is a tipping point, prompting both men and women to make a move to self-employment. But, you know, it is not just parallel. It's not a parallel relationship that, you know, this happens to men and it happens to women. Actually, women are 6 times more likely to be in a position where their partner works long hours. So I think that is important for us to understand, that actually working long hours involves some kind of accommodation going on. It's not just, many studies look at women's ability to participate in the labour market and their ability to work long hours for themselves. But we can see that, you know, mainly because it mainly affects women, are also constrained by a partner having long hours. So we can see that marriage, thirdly, the third contribution is to contribute to our understanding of the role that marriage plays, because getting married is significantly associated with a move to self-employment for women. But for men and women, getting a transition to business ownership is related to marriage. And I think that is, numerous other studies have looked at this connection and have looked at and have seen that married people are more likely to enter business ownership. You know, perhaps there's some kind of risk sharing arrangement where one partner is in employment. But here we see that it's actually getting married is also related to a transition to business ownership. So those two, that demographics, that move to being married is also associated with the move to business ownership.
What are the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
So the main difference of this paper from many other papers is that we have taken a modelling approach that looks at fixed effects. So fixed effects models are the gold standard in studies examining the causal effects of becoming parents on people's lives. They reduce omitted variable bias in respect of time invariant factors that have not been identified but may affect the likelihood of an individual transitioning to self-employment. So they are particularly useful for looking at these transitions. But what this also, the implication of taking this approach, is that we cannot look at some of the standard factors that are associated with self-employment. People find, many studies find that there is an association between children and being self-employed, or between being business owners or marriage, but they are not looking at the causal effect. So this is taking a somewhat different approach. And that was the challenge, really, to take that approach. We were mindful of the risks of including variables that are consequences rather than causes of self-employment. And I've seen that there are many studies that are, perhaps not distinguishing so clearly between these factors. So that's why we include lagged variables, as well as, we looked at getting married one period earlier, having a child one period early. We conducted some kind of sensitivity analysis to make sure that we could make robust statements concerning causality. Of course, one can never be 100% sure about causality. I'm not claiming that we can be, but I think our approach is getting us closer to that.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise or maybe the most counterintuitive result?
Yeah, I would say that the most counterintuitive result was that we'd looked at, as I mentioned before, we looked at how one partner's long hours might prompt the other partner into self-employment. And I expected to see a difference in the coefficient, in the size of the effect for men and women who were in that position. But I was interested to see, we were interested to see that both men and women are affected by the other partner. You know, we only looked at opposite sex couples because of our sample size. But we found that, you know, this is affecting both men and women. But as I said before, women are so much more likely to be in this position, six times more likely to be in this position, that is really a factor that is affecting them much more than it is affecting men.
What are the main implications of your work for entrepreneurs, managers, policymakers, practitioners in general?
I think there are a number of implications of this research. I mean, one is that it's conducted in the context of the UK that has some of the highest childcare costs in the OECD, according to recent figures. And so the challenges are really very high for reconciling work and care. We find that actually the implication is that actually women are entering self-employment. They're doing a lot of freelance work. They're doing sort of consultancy work. But there's still a big gender gap in entrepreneurship. You know, when we think about business ownership, we're not able to identify from the survey that we've looked at. You know, although it's a very rich survey, Understanding Society, we're not able to identify particularly high growth businesses. But from what we can see, there's a gender gap. There's a missing entrepreneurship gap. There have been studies undertaken, according to the OECD, that you know, if more women participated in early stage entrepreneurship, well, there would be, you know, much more entrepreneurship going on, and with the associated benefits, perhaps employment benefits, high growth businesses. And so just as women's exclusion, former exclusion from the labour market, was sort of limiting competition in the labour market, it was half the people were basically out at one stage. Well, this is maybe also true in entrepreneurship, that there's a kind of limiting of the talent that is in entrepreneurship. And entrepreneurship is really only conducted in certain ways. So I think that we can see that women's limited participation in business ownership is constraining the UK economy. And we know that in some countries where there is greater support for women, even amongst couples, where there is greater support for women in the household, women are more likely to start up businesses. They're perhaps less likely to be self-employed, but more likely to start up their own businesses, particularly in cases where the partner shares parental responsibilities. So I think that it also gives us quite a lot of insight into what's going on in mainstream organisations, because women are not just moving to self-employment, they are moving out of employment. And so I think we also need to look at this aspect of the story, that women are moving out of employment, and they are moving out for a reason, because they are not really encouraged or supported to continue, particularly in successful careers in organisations. And so this does give us some insight into the workings of organisations and, you know, what they promote and what they discourage. And so I think this should be a wake-up call. Studies of self-employment are usually excluded in mainstream studies of women's employment. But I think they need to, as an important aspect of women's experience overall, they need to be considered in conjunction with women's employment. So I would say that, just to summarise on a more gender equal note, that's maybe good for all readers, is that long hours of work not only act as an impediment to women, they act as an impediment to anyone with caring responsibilities. You know, if your partner is working long hours, then that is putting you in a position where you are going to suffer. Not suffer, you know, obviously these are choices, but it's going to channel people in particular directions. And the challenge is to support caring, because caring It cannot just be separated into a separate part of society. It is part of our lives. It's part of all of our lives. And it should not be only part of the lives of people who are not sort of in the forefront of the labour market.
Thanks a lot, Shirin, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Gender Transitions to Self-Employment and Business Ownership. A link leaves a perspective. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship.shirin.com and on the main podcast platforms.
Thank you very much, Vincent.